Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's get into it, Mini. Wow. Excuse me, very carbonated. Soda of the podcast. Tonight, it's got an interesting taste to it. All right then. Soda of the podcast. We're coming at you guys with another soda from good old southern Minnesota. Not quite as far south as Spring Grove was, dang near in Iowa down there. But this is Buddy's Soda's lemon sour, and I gotta say, I'm kind of flirting with the perfect middle ground with this. I typically don't do well with sour. Didn't anticipate it being super sour. I just kind of figured that was the name going with lemon and all that kind of stuff. It's not a bad soda, I would say. It's not a bad soda. This isn't a dig on Buddy's Lemon Soda. This isn't a dig on 7-Up Sprite Sierra Mist. I would rather have like just a normal lemon lime soda, if I'm being completely honest. But just like all our other sodas out there, I'm sure there are people out there that would love this thing. So yeah, let's get into it. Like I said, good old Southern Minnesota there. Located down in Sleepy Eye, kind of down by a little bit, a little northwest of Mankato, straight north of St. James there. They're off of, 7th Street Avenue, northeast, right outside of just straight, west of New Ulm. So yeah, like I said, I have actually heard, I am surprised I haven't tried a Buddy soda before. I've heard a lot about Buddies. I'm pretty sure they're all over the Twin Cities. You can find them in grocery stores, all that kind of stuff. Go on to their Facebook page, their website, and they can you'll find out where you can get them at. The cool thing about this place, very similar to Northern Soda Co., there's not a ton of pictures of this place online that I was able to find, so I don't know how closely related it is. But you can actually visit Buddy Sodas and buy stuff from it. They're only opens during the week. They're closed Saturdays and Sundays, but they're open, Monday through Fridays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. normal. I guess you could say 9 to 5 p.m. Business hours. So yeah, I would say definitely go check them out. They're Buddy's Sodas. So both plural, Buddy's and then sodas.com. You can also find them on, Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, I would say, I mean, it looks like the website's been around for quite a while. I would say definitely, maybe try to check out their, Instagram or Facebook page, as it looks like there's just, a little more content, a little more, information you can find out from them as far as, finding them and things of that nature. But yeah, go check them out. It sounds like they do have some cool events that they do at their brewery. The only really thing they got on their can is at the very top. It says America's Original Brewery Made Soda. So really, really cool. But yeah, I would say It kind of, it's got a weird carbonation thing to it. It tastes really carbonated, but then once you swallow it, it kind of goes away. And then it kind of sneaks up on you and makes you, it's, I don't know, maybe I'm being insane tonight. It's a little different though. But yeah, I think part of the reason I don't like it is because it tastes very much like one of those lemon drops that you used to suck on as a kid. And oh my gosh, guys, don't get me wrong. I used to love those things. Love them so much. But just like with anything, I think I had them a little bit too much, and I can't even, oh my gosh, just thinking about them, I can't even look at them anymore. It just, something built up in my mouth, and I just, I can't, yeah, I can't do it anymore. So, like I said, I'm sure a lot of you out there would really enjoy this. I'm gonna go ahead and give it a, like I said, I'm not gonna go five on the dot. I'm gonna go and give it a 5.3. I would have one again, but it wouldn't, I would not seek it out. Like if somebody was like, "Hey, you know, I have one of these, do you want one?" If there were other options available to me, I wouldn't. But if it was this or water and I didn't feel like having water, I'd have it. So we'll go with 5.3. BuddySodas.com. Go check them out on Facebook, excuse me, and Instagram as well. And yeah, if you guys have a favorite, let me know what we should try out. We'll go from there. So with that, for Tommy Town this last weekend, the St. Thomas men's hockey team split with the Northern Michigan Wildcats. Friday night saw the Wildcats actually win a close one, 3-2, and then the following night the Tommies were able to be victorious in a 3-2-1 victory. Friday night the Wildcats got on the, excuse me, got the scoring started with a power play goal in the first, and an early goal coupled that with a second period goal early on for a 2-0 lead. St. Thomas would earn a power play a little over halfway through the second period, and that's when the Tommies would get things going for the most part in this game, as Mac Beyer and Ethan Gower cycled the puck along the blue line and then fed a perfect pass to Ryan O'Neill, who cut the lead in half with a one-timer goal. After that, the Tommies would actually go on to tie the game with just under 4 minutes later, as Cole Miller launched a shot from the point onto Luke Leland's stick and past the Wildcats goaltender. The goal garnered an unsuccessful review by Northern Michigan for an apparent high stick, they thought, but the goal would stand. However, despite the goal and standing, per the challenge, for the third straight period, the Wildcats would strike first, and in the third period, their goal would prove to be the game-winning goal. However, the Tommies outshot Northern Michigan 13-7 in the final frame. They could not find the back of the net for the game's tying score. Fortunately for the men's team, they got back in the win column in game two on Saturday night to get them back in the win column, like I mentioned. They would score a goal in each period from three different players, getting the 3-1 win. Cooper Gay's second period shorthanded goal was the game winner, and Jake Seibel stopped 26 shots to earn his seventh win of the season. It's also worth noting that Saturday's win marks the second straight season in the Division I era the men's hockey team has actually improved its record. Last year, if you didn't already know, the team got national attention as they went from a three-win team 2 years ago in the 21-22 season to 11 wins in the 22-23 season. And now this year they sit at 12 wins on the year with 10 games left to play, which is pretty incredible if you ask me. I think I don't have, I had them out earlier in the day, so I apologize. But I'm pretty sure at the beginning of the year the Tommies were tabbed to do better. I think they were tabbed somewhere to fifth or sixth out of, I think, nine teams in the CCHA, which is pretty very incredible, to say the least. So, excuse me. With the conclusion of the Northern Michigan series, the Tommies will now enjoy a little time off as their exhibition game that was originally scheduled with the National Development Team on the 27th was canceled. Unfortunately for you guys, with it being an exhibition game, there wasn't a ton of information about the cancellation. All I was able to find out was that the game was canceled with a no rescheduled date. So, yeah. With that, the team will be back in action for a home-and-home series with the Minnesota State Mavericks, as the Friday, February 2nd game will be at 7:07 at the St. Thomas Ice Arena. And then on Saturday, the 3rd, they'll be in Mankato for a puck drop at 6:07. For the women's hockey team, they very much fell in suit like the men's team did as they split their home-and-home series this last weekend with the St. Cloud State Huskies, as the home team won both matchups, the Huskies 3-1 on Friday night and the Tommies 5-1 Saturday night. Friday night saw the St. Cloud Huskies jump out to a 2-0 lead after a two-goal second period. However, the Tommies would struggle on the power play, going 1-for-5 on the game. Kiera Parker would find the back of the net on for the lone power play goal of the game for them, on with her third goal of the year, cutting the lead in half for their first of two power play opportunities in the third period. St. Cloud, unfortunately, would add an insurance goal later in the third as Olivia King made 31 saves in the loss. And then Saturday night seemed to be just too much of the same. Seemed to be early in the game too much of the same as the Huskies would jump out to a 1-0 lead just 9 minutes into the game. But after a second period tie-in goal and a four-goal third period, the Tommies earned their first regulation win over a top 10 opponent in the Division I era, which is huge. St. Thomas topped St. Cloud State 5-1 with the historic win. With just over 4 minutes to go in the second period, Abby Promsberger would put a Mary Zavorals rebound in the back of the net to head into the third period, tied 1-1. I apologize, I probably butchered her last name. The physical game went into the final frame of the weekend, all tied up at one goal apiece, like I mentioned, with the Huskies having a slight advantage in shots on goal, 15-12. However, Riley Bartz would break the tie with her seventh goal of the season, putting the Purple ahead with 11:30 to go in the game. Bartz's goal would be assisted by Maddie Clow and Rachel Golnitz. And then from there, the Tommies would go on to score three empty net goals in the final 2.5 minutes to put the Huskies away. Both Lauren Stenzel and Mary Zavarel would score the empty netters, as Stenzel got two of them, and Olivia King would make 25 saves Saturday night for her fifth win on the year. Not sure what's going on with my talking tonight, folks. Up next for the women's team, they'll be in Bemidji this upcoming weekend, taking on the Bemidji State Beavers. Tomorrow night's game will be at 6 p.m., while Saturday's will be at 3 p.m., so good luck to them. And to keep the good news train going, the Tommies men's basketball team would dispatch of the North Dakota State Bison 79-63 earlier tonight as their lone game of the week. And in come-from-behind fashion, might I add, the Tommies basketball team found themselves behind as many as 9 in the first half, before a 43-point second half propelled them to a 13-point win over the Bison. Parker Bjorklund's layup at 11:03 in the second half put the Tommies up 50-48, and the Tommies never looked back from there. Bjorklund would go on for a huge game and one rebound away from a double-double as he led all scorers with 32 points and added 9 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and an assist in the effort. Raheem Anthony would add 15 points himself to go with 5 rebounds in the big win for the men's basketball team. So a huge congratulations to them. They will start to get things going as we're quickly approaching February. And if there's one thing you know about February, these games matter. Getting ready for, you guessed it, March Madness. So this Saturday, the Tommies will look to get the North Dakota sweep as they host the North Dakota Fighting Hawks at 7 p.m. this Saturday, the 27th, before traveling to Omaha, Nebraska on Thursday, February 1st for a 7 p.m. game against the Omaha Lancers. So congratulations to them on the big win earlier today. And good luck to them going forward. For the women's basketball team, however, they were not as lucky tonight as they fell to the Bison earlier, 52-85. However, there was a silver lining in this game, as in the loss, despite the loss, junior Jade Hill became the first St. Thomas player in the Division I era to surpass 1,000 points. Hill would finish the game with 6 points, 3 assists, and 2 steals on 33% shooting from the floor. Tonight's game was an interesting one, as the women's team was actually able to keep pace with the North Dakota State Bison early, as they were down only 1 after the first quarter and were only down by 10 at the half. However, the Bison would pull away in the second half, outscoring the Tommies 46-23. Amber Scalia would lead the Tommies with 15 points, while junior Phoebe Frenzel would come off the bench to add 8 points, 6 rebounds, and 22 steals for herself. This upcoming week, the ladies look to snap their 2-game skid as they will travel to Grand Forks for a 1 p.m. game against the Fighting Hawks on Saturday before playing host to the Omaha Lancers at 7 p.m. on Thursday, February 1st. And then before we move out of the Tommy Town, there's still no news on the Tommy football team, but believe me, if you're a college football fan, you've been already hearing news of transfers and stuff like that. There's still plenty of movements going on in college football, as everybody is eagerly not only waiting for the season, but we're awaiting the announcement from EA Sports on the official release date of NCAA Football 24. And Jim Harbaugh leaving Michigan to team up with Justin Herbert to become the next coach of the LA Chargers. So with that, this week's, I guess, local business shout-out is a little bit different, as I don't know how much it's an actual business, but more of like an organization. Not really quite sure if that makes sense or not, so we're just going to jump right into it. It's Hockey Day Minnesota. If you don't already know now or haven't heard of them, I'll briefly tell you, but Hockey Day Minnesota started back in 2007, and it's an annual event that celebrates this great sport of hockey in the great state of Minnesota. Where it used to be just Saturday, it's now turned into more of a multi-day showcase, as it's usually held in mid to late January or early February, and consists of multiple high school games, boys and girls, high school games, men and women's college hockey games, and always concludes with a wild game on Saturday. The day itself is usually a Saturday, and if you look at the schedule, there's usually events in the host city that start on start on Wednesday, do stuff on Thursday, Friday, and then wrap up Saturday. So go check it out. I think you guys will be very interested to see what they got and will love what you see. The website is hockeydaymn.com. No spaces, no dashes, no nothing, just hockeydaymn.com. And they also have a Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages, so go check them out. The last thing I will also say before I end the shout out with Saturday's slate of games, that the really cool thing I want to add about Hockey Day Minnesota is it's actually hosted by a new city every year, which makes it really special on a year-to-year basis. Between the games and stuff like that, they kind of show around the city, people within the city, so you kind of get to learn more about what's kind of in our backyards as well. So with that, at the end of the weekend, they always announce the city to host it 2 years out for preparation purposes. This year, if you didn't already know, Warroad is hosting the day, while Shakopee will host in 2025. If my memory serves me right, the actual host location will actually be Valley Fair, which will be super dope. Really hope to make it out next year. For that, I think that'll be really cool. So stay tuned and find out if your city or a city near you will be hosting Hockey Day Minnesota in 2026. So lastly, the schedule for Saturday the 27th is as follows. All of the games that I will say will be on Fox Sports North or Bally Sports North. So with that, Warroad will take on Lakeville North in a varsity girls high school hockey game, kicking off the day at 9:30 a.m. At 1 p.m. will be a high school varsity boys hockey game between Moorhead Spuds and the Rizetta Trojans. 4 p.m., the Warroad varsity boys team will take on the varsity boys team of Roseau Rams. And then the finale will be the Minnesota Wild hosting the Anaheim Ducks at 8 p.m. It's also worth noting the Wild, incredibly, are practically unbeatable on Hockey Day Minnesota, as they are, what is it? I think this is the 16th year they're doing it. They are 12-2-1 on Hockey Day Minnesota. So, unfortunately, with what happened earlier tonight, really hope they can get back in the win column on Saturday. And, yeah, go from there. Before we get into, you know, the big three sports that are kind of taken on right now, did want to give a quick shout out. 2 days ago, it was announced that Joe Mauer, our own Joe Mauer, was one of three players headlining the 24 Baseball Hall of Fame class. Him, Todd Helton, and Adrian Beltre. Beltre and Mauer were two guys who were actually made it in their first year of eligibility. Beltre received support from 95.1% of the 385 writers who cast ballots, while Mauer was voted in by 76.1% of the members, so which is huge. Todd Helton was made it in his sixth attempt, so just wanted to give Joe Mauer a huge congratulations, give him a quick shout out here. You know, it's worth noting that if you don't remember, because it has been a while, this guy was an icon. I grew up watching him. He was unbelievable. He won batting titles in 2006, 08, and 09, becoming the only catcher in history to lead his respective league in batting average on three separate occasions. He was also voted the AL MVP after a sensational 2009 season. And he's still currently only one of six catchers ever with at least three gold gloves and three silver slugger awards. Unusually tall for his position at 6'5", Mauer batted an astounding 306 in a 15-year career spent entirely with us, the Minnesota Twins, as he accumulated 2,123 hits and 143 home runs. So, like I said, one of three, he joined Johnny Bench and Ivan Rodriguez as the only catchers to be voted into the Hall of Fame in their first year of eligibility. So a huge, huge congratulations to him. It was really cool to see Justin Morneau kind of surprise him with this on that MLB Today segment. So really, really cool. Huge congratulations to him. He deserves it. Very well deserved. And yeah. With that, we will move on to our Minnesota Wild.